Welcome to What Not to Do. I'm Kyle Schmitz, and this is episode 100. We did it. We hit the Benjamin. This is amazing. We are back with part two Tuesday here. Jerry Abiyog, the co-founder and CMO of Standard Insights. You guys are going to love this conversation. Hold on tight. We'll be right back.
Good men learn from their own mistakes, but great men learn from the mistakes of others. What Not to Do gives entrepreneurs a platform to share their failures to help equip you for success. We break the silence on failure, we demystify failure, and we help you overcome the fear of failure. So, still not sure what to do? Start with what not to do, because hindsight is 20/20.
So let's do this. This show is called What Not to Do for a reason, right?
And yeah.
I would love, man, for you to pull out of the archives one of your favorite failures that you've had in your own journey, and just tell us a story. Take us into it and unpack it for us.
Yeah. So what got me here to co-founding Standard Insights? So just a brief story of my career. I've had close to 25 years in sales marketing experience. About 9 years ago, I left my last corporate job and started my own business helping software companies with sales and marketing initiatives. And I've had some great clients. Some of those clients had successful exits and I got a nice check. But I guess what got me here today wasn't a successful client. It was a client that, that was an utter failure. It was an AI machine learning company. It bombed big time. We had $1 million, close to $1 million in funding and nothing to show for it. Nothing, nothing, whatsoever. But I did learn two things at that point in time. Number one, regardless of what software you have and whatever technology you have, your clients want something that's easy to use and will solve their business problem. And number two, there was something bubbling beneath the surface with AI-driven technology. So four years ago, if you talk to 10 people, start talking about AI, maybe two or three people would know about it. Now it's like 6 to 7 people know about AI. And now if you Google AI, possibilities, it's going to be big, big industry, not only now, but 4, 5, 6, 7 years. So I learned those two things. And while I was learning those two things, and while this company was imploding through serendipitous events, I met my future co-founder through mutual friends. He was visiting from India. He used to live here in Atlanta. He used to work for a Fortune 50 company here in town as a technological architect. And we're having drinks. He kind of pitched me this idea or prototype that he had of this AI as a service, platform that could help businesses, drive growth. And knowing what I learned from the prior company, I took a shot. It's like, hey, learning from what I learned, I was like, okay, this idea has enough legs to it. So I flew out to Denver at the outdoor retail. And then when I returned to Atlanta a week later, we had our first beta clients or test clients. So this is how it was, learning from that failure. And, they say you make your own luck. Right. So, and then just through serendipitous events, I met someone through mutual friends and poof, here we are today, 2 years later. So it was learning from that failure, right? You're always learning. You're always in a lookout, but learning from that past failure that led me to co-founding Standard Insights.
That's awesome. And you, really kind of helped us to see on that high level as far as what it looks like to actually learn from your own failures and apply that in life. Cause I mean, how easy is it to like make a mistake or experience a failure, but not actually ever learn the lessons of it. Right.
Yeah.
And obviously that's the first half of what we do here. Good men learn from their own mistakes, which is great. And obviously your story models that. And then the second half is, but great men learn from the mistakes of others. Right. And so all our listeners are listening to you right now and they're like, hey, this is awesome. I can learn from this. And so take us deeper into, that first, failure where the company was bombed. Help us to kind of understand what went wrong and some of the lessons that you learned just from that specifically that you were then able to apply with Standard Insights.
Yeah. So real simple, we weren't customer centric. it was more, hey, beating our chest. This is our software. This is what we can do. This is the this is the technology we possess. This is the you know, we have, I still remember the pitch, right? Oh, we have 20 plus algorithms that we use in our software platform. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what technology you have or what technology you possess. It could be the best in the, you know, in the world, but if it's not solving a problem and you're not customer centric, and yeah, it isn't going anywhere. I mean, that was the big lesson learned. You got to be, you know, customer centric. And fast forward today, when we developed the platform, and once we realized there's a product market fit, when we developed our platform or took it to market, it was only, it was a prototype, probably 40% developed, but it was feedback from our beta customers and our eventually paid customers where we fine tune things. So if you take a look at our platform, it's basically from customer feedback. And we're continuing to adjust and adjust and tweak things. But if, yeah, if you look at our platform and our website, every message on there was based on customer feedback.
And that's for Standard Insights, right?
Yeah, for Standard Insights. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always about the customers. Yeah, it's always, because without them, you'll cease to exist.
Yeah.
And that was a big thing. We weren't customer focused. It was more about beating your own drum at the last company versus what you could do for the customer.
Yeah. So interesting. So if I'm kind of hearing you right, it's like you guys came out, had this, what you thought was an awesome product. You're kind of, you know, like you said, beating your own chest. Like, look what we got. This is awesome. Instead of taking a more iterative approach where you're in real time getting that customer feedback so you can continue to evolve and make a better product. And so you took an initial approach, which I think is tempting for a lot of folks. Like, they want to have like this perfect product out to market and then tell the world about it rather than take a almost what would maybe feel like a more humble approach, saying, hey, here's our product. We think we can solve this problem. What do you think? Can you tell us? And then you continue to work out and grow up better. Talk a little bit more on the process of iteration, you know, with the previous company that bombed and then with your new company.
Yeah. So the other three other co-founders, I mean, you know, thankfully we were all on the same page, right? Very, you know, customer focused. And if you see our platform, maybe I'll take you through a tour of it, a demo. You know, every little nuance was because of a customer suggestion. If you look at our website right now, we tried to make it very, that it's solving, you know, a customer problem. And it's always going to be about the, you know, the customer. And the companies that, whether it's the last startup I work for or work with, or the other ones, companies that don't focus on their customer, you know, cease to exist. Yeah.
Okay. So I want to zoom out just a little bit and go back to, the initial startup of that company. If everything that you guys did was a wrong decision, then the world would be destroyed five times over. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I want to know, first of all, before things went wrong and you realized you guys weren't customer centric, you were maybe beating your own chest and really didn't value the customer's opinion to help create the product as much as what you could have. What were things that you guys were actually doing that were right decisions, right actions that you were taking leading up prior to the failure?
So the right actions were, so the idea behind it actually, you know, rang a bell with some people. It's like, hey, this sounds like a good idea. And obviously this was very, very new, right? More AI was a more nascent stage 3-4 years ago than it is now.
Yep.
So no, we did have good conversations. It's like, hey, this sounds like a great idea. You know, they would say, you know, tell me more. And once we got them on the, you know, on the phone or a demo, and we were out at some trade shows in Los Angeles, and people thought it was a great idea initially. But once we got over the, you know, the handshake and, you know, let's set up initial call, that's where everything kind of fell off the cliff. And when they asked and they made suggestions, kind of got, I don't know, maybe defensive, if you want to, you know, to hey, man, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, get out of here. Right. So that was the attitude. I mean, it was interesting, right? If I gave you, if I mentioned an elevator, you're a trade show, 30-second pitch, and you would say, hey, tell me more. But once we told them more and we didn't listen to them or they made suggestions and yeah, forget it. Fell off the cliff and yeah. But if I didn't learn from that, no way would I be here 2 years later co-founding Standard Insight. So it was because of that. If I didn't learn, if that company did well and I got my check and like, okay, cool, but I didn't learn anything from that, but it's learning. Or nor did I, would I have learned that the potential of AI or what was bubbling, beneath the surface. So I guess I'm thankful for those failures or what happened. No matter who you are and what you do, pounding your chest isn't going to get you anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. So I mean, like I'm hearing you saying like, hey, we had the right idea. We saw opportunity in the market, right? We could see the future, so to speak. And you guys took action on that and were able to generate interest with clients. And then, and so those are all things that you would say, like you would readily tell someone else, hey, go do these things, right? Be paying attention, look for opportunities, look for trends, see where they could be going, try to anticipate those things. And then where things went wrong was when you actually have the customer's attention, right? It became more about like, look at all of our features and benefits rather than about them. And instead about kind of saying like, hey, here's what we got. What do you think? Is this going to solve your problem? Or what would you say would solve your problem? And drawing it out of them.
Yeah,
you guys weren't iterating in sense. And then to your extent, and this can be tough, like when someone starts a business, it's their baby, right? It's right. Their idea and they want to cradle it. And as soon as someone says, well, hey, that baby is kind of ugly, right? it's easy to get defensive in that regard. And so kind of that dynamic there maybe kind of came because you were more focused on how great your baby was versus the customer, how great your business was versus the customer.
Yeah, you nailed it on the head, right? Yeah. So if you look at our website, there are four co-founders. The ones here stateside or on the business side, sales and marketing, and the two that are technical are in India. And we've managed to, we work well as a team, come together in our strengths, right? Mm. To come to a what I feel is an awesome platform that we're, looking to scale, but you're absolutely right. And you can't, and I get it. Sometimes it's hard, right? You're always, if you created the platform, you want to beat your chest, bells and whistles. But the one thing we had on our side, as I told you, one of our co-founders, he's actually worked for a Fortune 50 company here, even though he's living in India, here in Atlanta, where he was involved. He ran projects that not only were technically, focus, but also had to solve a business problem. So that we're very fortunate that our tech guys also have a business mindset, because you don't always find that. You'll have the technical guys, hey, I created this, the best product in the world. But you're right. If it's not solving the problem and all you're talking about is the bells and whistles, that's only going to get you to a certain point. It may get you to a conversation, right, with someone, but it's not going to close that sale, and it's not, your company's not going to go anywhere.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And if you guys think that your, platform was solving a problem, but no one actually had that problem, then you're not really solving a problem, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So if you could go back, Jerry, and give your younger self advice, before things kind of turned south and that company would eventually, meet its demise, like what counsel would you give yourself? Or if you had a younger guy coming up to you that was kind of venturing the same thing, had a great product, had this great vision, it was promising, but you maybe noticed some tendencies in him, how would you counsel him to avoid the mistakes that you made? What would you tell him not to do?
Yeah. So going back, I wasn't always the most driven child or young adult, if you will. I mean, I had all the, to get to give to my parents. I mean, I had all the, tools given to me, had a great education growing up, had college paid for, but it wasn't until I was, mid to late 20s that I realized that, hey, what my parents were telling me was right. You know, you have to work hard, you know, each and every day and set goals for yourself. So me, I was a knucklehead, you know, as a kid. And then, so yeah, I guess things started clicking in my mid to late 20s. I started doing stuff like, okay, started running marathons, and from marathons, Ironmans, just that, mental fortitude to help you get through those events. So yeah, if I were to tell my younger self is, man, always work hard, don't be a slacker is basically, and work harder than the person next to you. Mm-hmm. Right. And with that, all good things will come, you know, set big goals for yourself, but then don't always focus on that big goal, but focus on micro goals, right? Yeah. I co-founded this startup. I could say, hey, my goal is to make $1 zillion, but to make that $1 zillion, what steps do you have to take? Right. And then number one is have a product that solves a business need. And then once you figure that out, get a trial customer. Then once you get a trial customer, get your first paid customer. Once you get your first paid customer, you know, grow that base. So it's always setting, incremental goals, right? Have this big goal, but then all these mini goals along the way, whether it's, at work, professionally, or personal goals.
Yeah. And that's so powerful. And it goes back to that idea of that compounding effect, right? 1% better mm-hmm. every day. And like you said, it's, I think sometimes our capacity to set big goals for ourselves is too small, right? And, and the reality is would you rather fall short of $100,000 goal or a $1 million goal, right?
Right.
And so it's kind of funny how the mind works. When you set yourself that bigger goal that almost seems impossible at first glance, your mind goes to work in solving that. And like you said, when you reverse engineer that and saying, well, if I want to make $1 million this year, oh my gosh. And you say, well, I need to sell, 10,000, people $100 this year.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that's easy math, right? I think now I have and you start to break that out, like you said, not just macro, but now let's get micro at this. And then we can take those action steps that translates, to meeting our goals, hopefully in the future, which is powerful.
Yeah. And realize along the way that you'll have stumbling blocks. If you look on our website, our logo, it's trending up, but it goes up, then down, and it goes up, and then, but it's trending up, but there are always these dips, and mm-hmm. that's life. You know, you'll be up one day, then a little bit down, then up mm-hmm. again and down. But as long as you're always, trending up, you're doing the right thing.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Those are powerful, timeless lessons. Absolutely. And I think I can relate to what you're saying. Like, I've heard it referred to as the stupidity of your 20s, right?
Yeah.
And I had my head up my, some dark crevices, I'll just say that, in my own 20s. And it took me a while to kind of figure things out myself too. But that's really, really powerful. And I hope that, you sharing your story and even some of the counsel, you'd go back and give your younger self and what things you learned from the initial failure and how you've now been able to take those lessons and apply them to see success. I really hope it's impacting our listeners, whether or not they're in their 20s or in their 50s,
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Great story with Jerry Abiog. Let's break down what he told us not to do. First, don't lose your passion. Don't lose your passion. Another way he said this was to be driven. If he could go back and do it differently, he'd be more driven. Here's the deal. It's not whether or not we are driven. It's who's driving us, right? Not whether or not who's driven or whether or not... It's not whether or not we're driven, it's who's driving us, right? And what Jerry's saying essentially is drive yourself. Be driven. Be the one who's in the steering wheel, right? Otherwise, you're in the passenger seat and you're just along for the ride. And you have no idea, no control where you're going, right? And so this idea of not losing your passion, of being driven, right, is a really another way to say, in a sense, be in control. Like, have a plan for your future. Be driven. Be going someplace on purpose, for a purpose, with passion, with drive in you. Don't let someone else drive. Right? You drive. Be driven. Don't lose your passion. Next, don't be afraid to set big goals. Don't be afraid to set big goals. This is huge, right? If you want, if you set, small goals, you're going to end up in a small place, right? If you set big goals, you're going to end up in a big place. The way I've heard it phrased is, what would you rather fall short of, right? Would you rather fall short of a massive goal or a small goal, right? Would you rather fall short of making $100, you know, as your goal, or would you rather fall short of making $1 million as your goal? I mean, come on, right? Like if you were 50% of goal and your goal is $100, well, it's $50. But if you're 50% of goal at $1 million, that's $500,000. You tell me what you'd rather have, right? I'm taking the latter, baby. All right. So don't be afraid to set big goals. That's okay. Next, don't dwell on what you don't have. Right? Don't dwell on what you don't have. So some people might hear that and be like, well, but if I set a goal and I haven't achieved that goal, then I technically don't have it. You're telling me not to dwell on that? You just told me to set the goal, Kyle, but now you're telling me to not dwell on it? No. That's not what we're saying. We're talking about contentment. We're talking about thankfulness. You can have vision for the future. You can have an end in mind, and you can be thankful for what you have presently. That's so important, right? And usually where we get discontent is when it's not just dwelling on what we don't have. The reasons those things even come up is because we're looking on Facebook, we're seeing what our buddy next door has, what car he's driving, how many times he goes to the golf range, you know, golf course, whatever it might be, you know what I'm saying? And that's not at odds with having the end in mind. It is just, it is at odds with being thankful for what we have today. Right? And gratitude is everything. It is the root of everything, right? Be thankful to God for what you have and be driven. Don't lose your passion, set big goals and go after it. But ultimately you plant, you water, it's God who gives an increase, and be okay with that. Be thankful for that, right? Don't be a slacker. Be a hard worker, right? Now, hard worker doesn't necessarily mean just hours. Hard worker doesn't necessarily mean manual labor. So we can be thoughtful about that, but don't be a slacker, right? Produce. Produce twice as much as you consume. And the hours that you do work, go all in during those hours. Really, really huge. And going back to the goal thing, Jerry said too, on micro and macro goals, don't neglect that. Set big ones, long-term ones, and also set up ones that you can crush today, that you can knock out of the park today. That's really, really important as far as goal setting goes. Let's see what else here. Show up every day is one thing that he said, and the not to do there is don't be absent. We've all been there. You know, we can be with our family at the dinner table and be on our phone. We're absent. Don't be absent, right? We can be out with a group of friends, hanging out and again, checking our phones, or just dwelling on the day at work and just completely checked out, not present. We are absent. Don't do that. Show up. Show up wherever you are and be in there. And the reality is wherever you are there, right? I mean, all of you is there, right? So your mind might be just wandering, but don't do that, right? Don't be absent. Be all in, be there, show up every day, ready to work hard, to be driven, to take your passion, to go crush the goals that you've set. That's really, really good stuff. A good word, don't be absent, be there, be all there, be all in, be present, and be thankful for everything that you have in the present while you're working towards the future. Well, if you've enjoyed this conversation with Jerry, as I have, it's funny, we talk about enjoying conversations and it's all about failure, but look, this failure is not the end. And I hope we talk about a lot about failure here, all the messaging is what not to do, la da 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 da. Hey, look, that's great, but it's only good as long as it gets us onto success, right? That's the goal. And guys like Jerry are coming in and just pouring out their wisdom and their insight that they've learned from mistakes that they made so that you don't have to make those mistakes. So gosh darn it, by golly, don't make those mistakes, right? Be taking notes, be sharing this stuff with a friend so that they don't have to make those same mistakes. You know, Lord knows we're going to have enough of our own, right? That's inescapable. We are humans. We are not perfect. We're going to fail. We're going to mess up, and that's okay. But here we can at least manage some of that failure, right? We can avoid some of the failure altogether. We can learn so we can make better decisions in the future, and that's huge. So failure's not the end here, folks. Success is, faithfulness is, faithfulness wherever you have, wherever you're working at, and whatever you have before you. Crushing the goals, success, realizing that, right? Whatever your mission is in life, realizing that and succeeding in that is the goal here too. So take these lessons, learn, share them with friends. As always, a great way you can do that is to give us a review wherever you listen. That's helpful to us and hopefully enjoyable to you. And if this show's not worth a 5-star review, let me know. I want to know. I mean, feel free. I'm not telling you, if you hate this show and you really feel, burden to go and give us a one-star rating. I'm not telling you not to do that, but I'd also want to hear from you, and I'd hope that you'd be willing to come and sit down with me and say, hey, Kyle, this is what I really don't like about the show, and this is why I think you are, why you're not serving the community very well. I want to know about that. If that's how you feel, if that's your takeaway, let me know. If not, and it's a five-star, awesome. I would love to hear what you really liked about the show, and maybe, if anything, what you'd add or take away to make it even better. That's really, really important to me, to continue to give you guys and gals more and more value so that you guys can go and be better equipped for success. Well, it has been said that good men learn from their own mistakes, but great men, they learn from the mistakes of others. So go and be great, and we'll see you next time.